Here's our friend George McPhee, the general manager of the Vegas Golden Knights. Have we educated you, Mr. McPhee?
A little bit.
That's very diplomatic of you. Thank you very much.
You could always say no to Bob, George, please.
You can just say no. You're an idiot.
No, George saves that for me.
better people than George, but you have been called an idiot by numerous people.
Thank you.
So are you resting? Are you planning? Are you, what are you doing?
We are.
Are you?
Yeah, we took Monday off. We had an optional skate yesterday, full skate today, full skate tomorrow, and then we'll get going. Travel to wherever we're going.
Yeah,
and, you got it. In the meantime, we've had our amateur scouting meetings and doing all the things that have to be done.
Yeah, hold on now. Most people, when they do their amateur scouting meetings, go to California or to Vegas or to Florida. Do you bring your guys like to Bismarck, North Dakota, just to make it miserable?
No, the guys have dealt with the harsh weather all year long, so it's nice to have them here.
Give them a home game.
We have everything we need here, and it's a yep. And we had some pro meetings last week, and it's a good opportunity for the guys to see the team play, or practice, or both, and it's helpful in the way they assess things.
Let me ask you about scouting. Something I've never asked anybody. So now you know you're going to play one of these two teams. Do you send two scouts or more than two scouts to look at this series and have one focus on one team and the other scout focus on the other team?
No, not at this point. You know, there's a little bit of that in the first round, but beyond that, you know a team pretty well.
Okay.
And you can pick up a lot from video. So we don't do it. Other clubs do, but we've had, you know, a lot of the other clubs here at every game that we play at home. But we did it in the first round, and our coaches felt like they'd seen enough, and we do our own sort of pre-scout through the coaches, and that should suffice.
Maybe I should ask Gerard this question, but do you feel like your team has established a style, a modus operandi, and you are committed to playing the way you play? Or do you believe in the notion that you must adapt to what other teams do? Or is it a bit of both?
A little bit of both, but we're a club that doesn't change a whole lot. Gerard doesn't really change tactics a whole lot. He, you know, the focus has been all year long on how we play and not how our opponent plays. We'll certainly show the players what our opponent does, but we spend a lot more time just getting our club prepared, and we practice pretty much the same way all year, and we play the same way all year.
I'm not surprised by that.
George, how satisfying was it for you guys to watch Ryan Reeves and Ryan Carpenter and Pierre-Edward Belmar do what they did in Game 5? And Turk played them more than anybody else, I swear, in the third period.
Yeah, they played terrific. They may have been our best line that game, without a doubt. What I enjoy about the playoffs is you know, there are some tactical changes, there are personnel changes, and it's the coaches' abilities for both clubs to try and do something that works and makes a difference. And Turk was just had a hunch and went with it, and it worked out pretty darn well. And it's been the story of our playoff, I guess, so far. The good news is when someone gets pulled out of the lineup, there's no whining, good attitude. They work hard and practice and everything else. And when somebody gets in, they've been giving us good games. Oscar Lindbergh's another. He didn't play in the first round and came in the middle of the second round and played very, very well.
Well, the Ryan Reeves, to me, I mean, he hadn't played since the regular season. And popped back in and looked fresh and knew what his role was and didn't make any mistakes. That, to me, is the biggest part.
No, he played very, very smart and, wasn't going to get drawn into any penalties or anything like that and just played a heck of a game for us. I was really proud of him.
So tell me
about
the
difference in that game. Yeah. It made a big difference in
the series. Absolutely. Scares the heck out of everybody.
Well, they know he's coming.
Yeah, that's the truth. With George McPhee, the general manager of the Golden Knights. So tell me what the attitude around town is. How have things changed from the regular season to sweeping the Kings to now getting to the third round? Are things noticeably ramped up? Well, how are people reacting?
Well, it is really ramped up, Bob, as you can imagine. You've lived here. You can't go anywhere without seeing our logo.
I know.
Somewhere, you know, every store, every hotel, our logos, you know, either it's on cars, it's you know, there are flags everywhere. Everybody's wearing Vegas Golden Knights merchandise, and you turn on the television in the morning and the news, it's all about the Vegas Golden Knights. It's just incredible how this hockey team and this city have come along here, and the relationship between the team and the city, and as you may know, it goes all the way back to the UNLV days. The basketball team was so great here. They had there was this hysteria around the team and the city, and they talk about like they haven't had that since. And this hockey team and T-Mobile Arena and our arena here have become community hubs. You know, it's the place to be.
Hey, you talk about the arena, George, and I actually have not been in it yet. Is there something about its design that makes it louder? I mean, a lot of new buildings are cookie cutters. Is your building just like every other one, or is there something special about
it? No. It's one of the new buildings that was built the right way. It was built for hockey, which is great. The sight lines are great. The acoustics are really great. But it's nice and tight. It's not a big building. You feel like, you know, there's enough room to get around, obviously, and they did it right. But you feel like the crowd is right on top of you. And there isn't a bad seat in the house. And it's just it's a perfect, perfect hockey building.
I think it's my favorite the favorite building I've ever been in. I mean, the ambiance inside adds to it. But the way the lower level was designed with the lounges in the back is just spectacular. And it allows you between periods, as you know, George, I mean, it allows you to get up out of your seat and go for a little walk and grab a drink or a box of popcorn or whatever it is, but not feel like you're not in a bunker somewhere. You're not hidden away from the ice. You can still see the ice. You can hear what's going on. So you always feel like you're involved. You're not going to miss anything.
Yeah, very good observation. It's spatially it's done very, very well. You know, there's lots of sight lines to all over the building, not only in the bowl, but you can see out and so on. And it's interesting that Kelly McCrimmon and I sit in a suite, and we get out, you know, between periods and just go out, and there's this little alcove, and it's amazing that we can sit there and pick up on so many different things that are going on in the building. So it's it was done very, very well, and we're lucky that, because I didn't know that coming in. You know, it was sort of, you know, I didn't know what I was getting into, and then once we were here and saw everything that we had, and thought, you know, again, I've said this to you guys before, if we do our jobs, we've got a chance to win, because we've got everything we need, and it starts with having a great building. Certainly a great fan base.
Yeah, and it is a great building, and I'm sure I wasn't in it. I saw it being built, but I wasn't in it before. I came down for the game in December, and it's attractive enough. But I get the feeling you really don't sense the usefulness, the convenience, and the impact a building will have until you put 17,000 people inside it. And the 17,000 that you got going in there every night are loud.
Yeah. And it's so, Bob, it's so easy for us. You know, it's 15 minutes from where we live. We drive down, we just pull right in the back. There's a nice lot for us. And we really thought that parking issues would be a problem here. And they haven't been. It's just the way the everything flows when you leave. It's easy to get out. So, to come here, and have something like Madison Square Garden dropped right into Times Square. It's what we have. This
yeah,
great
is.
Atmosphere outside, this great atmosphere inside. And the answer to your question from our last call was, yes, we show the games outside the building. yeah.
You
I felt dumb when you asked me that question.
You weren't sure.
Because I didn't know. Yeah. But yeah, now we have the watch parties there. When we're out of town, we show the games there, and thousands of people are showing up. We've got thousands of people showing up at our practice to say so long when we're driving out of town to,
really?
to wherever we're playing. Yeah, it's been something here.
You own the town.
Hey, not to talk too much hockey business, but you got a couple of guys that are having unbelievable seasons and slash playoffs that you're probably going to have to spend some money on in the summertime. In Marc-Andre Fleury and William Karlsson. You'll have to wait till July 1st, I assume. So.
Well, you know, every summer you have decisions to make and contracts to do. And frankly, I think it'll be easier this summer because we know what these players are now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard when we claimed a bunch of players and we brought them here and you think you know them, but you don't really know them until you work with them. And it's a lot easier establishing values when you know who they are and what they are as players. And we'll put a value on it and try to get it done.
Be remiss in not talking to you about everybody was extolling the virtues of the Washington Capitals and the last time they went to a conference final. Dare I remind you who the general manager of that team was?
Yep.
So that was 20 years ago, George. You must have been watching the Pittsburgh-Washington game, knowing a few of your friends are still around, with a little bit of happiness for them.
Oh, sure. I certainly have some very good friends in the organization, obviously, and hired a lot of the people there and drafted a lot of the players. And I was really happy for them, very proud of them. They've deserved better over the years. They've played. It's been a good team for a long time, and they just couldn't push through. And that was certainly, I think, a big relief for the organization the other day. And they deserved it. I thought they outplayed Pittsburgh. Yeah. In fact, I thought they may have outplayed them the last few years, but they didn't get that puck luck that you need sometimes. But it worked out for them this time. And that's a really, really good hockey club and with some really good people, and they deserve to be where they are.
Dare I remind you, they didn't get the puck luck because the goalie that stopped them last year in the second round was your goalie. So your fingers were in this Capitals victory a little more than you realize.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'd have to concede that I wasn't thinking about that when I was claiming him.
No, I know that, but...
Think about what he was going to do for us.
Well?
Let me ask you this one. So now this series between Winnipeg and Nashville goes to 7. That gives you guys a few days off, and you've documented what, you know, the guys got a couple days, and optional yesterday, mandatory skate today. What do you think that means? Is there the right amount? First of all, do you think that having this a little bit of rest and them coincidentally having to battle through 7 games is an advantage to you? Do you think that, you know, you're fortunate that you went 6 and so your rest wasn't like a week or 10 days? How do you feel about that? Because you get this all the time in the playoffs.
Yeah, and I don't know the right answers, Bob. You know, when the series is over, you can sort of come up with a theory. But beforehand, you don't know. And we certainly don't mind the rest and getting people that are banged up a little healthier. But I've been on both sides of it. The 1 year with Vancouver, when we went to the finals in 94, we had a 7-game series. The last 3 games were all overtime, and the 7th game was double overtime, and we had to go right from that down to Dallas the next day, and we played the next day in Dallas, and Dallas was a good team, and we went through it. We won the series in 5 games, you know. But then it was the other way around when we got to the final. The Rangers... had played 7, we had time off, and it didn't work for us.
Didn't work well.
And that's right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. really what the right answer is.
I don't either.
But I would, I don't. But I would say that we don't mind the rest coming off that series.
All you have to do, really, George, is look at Boston and Tampa in their series. Boston plays 7 games against the Maple Leafs. They only got one night off, right, John?
Yeah.
And then they go to Tampa and pound them 6-2 while Tampa's been resting. And then Tampa wins 4 straight. Yeah. Figure that one out.
I'd take the rest, George.
I feel a little bit better about this. You just never know, but I feel a little bit better about the rest. And Kelly asked me before that series, the Boston-Tampa series, you know, who do you think wins the first game? And I said, I think Boston does because they're just coming off a series and they're going to have a lot of pace in the first game. And Tampa's going to have to get some of the rust off. But then they'll be fresher as the series progresses. And it looks like that's what happened.
Yeah, you should have gone over to Caesars, made a bet on that, McPhee. Now you're in the gambling capital of the world now.
I'm sure George
could have made some money.
George has the memo from home office tacked to the board about gambling.
No gambling. There's no gambling in hockey. Yeah. Well, listen, we wish you good luck. It's exciting for everybody. I don't know if you know this or not. The ratings for your games up here in the frozen north, which isn't frozen, by the way, anymore, have been off the charts.
Yes.
Off the charts.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In fact,
that's good to hear. What kind of numbers are you getting?
Well,
they got 1.4 the other night.
I'll tell you right now, George, the second game of the doubleheader that you're involved in beats the first game. And that means the Eastern Time game is not beating the game that starts at 10:30
at night. Yeah.
It's phenomenal. The numbers are phenomenal. Oh,
how's that? Isn't that holy cow?
Yeah. That's, gosh, who would have thought?
Tell your owner. He'll be happy. Yeah.
You know.
No, then he'll want to sell more sweaters up here.
Have him send the private plane up. We'll bring some fans down for you.
Bob was going to say he's going to move the show there for the final as long as you can give him 12 tickets, but I know you can't get him 12 tickets.
So. Yeah, get to the final and we'll see. I'm actually coming down the last week of May. I hope you're still playing.
Well, we might get you a press pass for standing.
Well, that would be great. That would be great to be playing and we'll help you out.
One at a time. One at a time. Nashville or Winnipeg next, and that will not be an easy mountain to climb. But I'm not putting anything past your guys. You guys have played an awful well this year.
Well, we're just going to do what we've done all year, and that is focus on the game in front of us. See if we can win that first period.
George, you're a good man for joining us. We thank you, as always, for your time. Best of luck. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, John.